Father, we just thank you once again for every opportunity that you give to us to come together and meditate upon your word. I pray, Father, Lord, the entrance of your word will bring light. We will truly understand, O Lord Jesus, the hope of our calling, the hope which is a living hope, a hope which prepares us for an inheritance which is incorruptible, undefiled, which will never fade away, reserved for us in heaven. Therefore, I pray, Lord, even as we meditate upon your word, that you would speak to our hearts. You would anoint all of us to hear, to speak, to obey. Grant us grace, O Lord Jesus. Lord, let your hand be over our lives. We thank you once again for this time. We praise you, we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, as we look at the things that are happening around the world, one of the things that we are constantly reminded of, that there is a battle for our identity in Christ. There's a constant pull from the world to conform to the image of this world, to the pattern of this world. But the call of God to the church right from the beginning, the first sermon that Peter preached predominantly to a Jewish crowd, who was a religious crowd, were God-fearing, some of them. He said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And that was a call for, from the beginning and even until the end, in the book of Revelation, you will see, come out from them, my people, and do not be partakers of its sin. Come out of Babylon. So one of the things that you will constantly see, that there is a battle to preserve and guard our identity in Christ. And we as believers have to understand who we are in Christ, and we should also be equipped as to how we overcome the attacks that we have in this world. That's the reason why the moment Peter talks about his identity in 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, we are, you know, we saw that we are a chosen generation. We saw the fact that we are a royal priesthood, a priesthood of the order of Melchizedek. We understood that we are a holy nation. We are a peculiar people. We are God's people. We have been purchased by God. We are people of God. We are just not one person. We are a people, a community of God's people. We are a people full of mercy. And the last thing that we understood, that we are a witnessing people, a witness people, a people who would witness the power of resurrection in our lives. And that is exactly the reason why Jesus, the last words before he is taken to heaven to his apostles and therefore his disciples in Acts chapter 1, he said, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power. Power for what? To be my what? Witnesses. In Jerusalem, Judea, and the ends of the world. Okay. And that's exactly what Peter, in his first address or the first sermon, when he's filled with the Holy Spirit, this is what he says. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. We are all witnesses. Whether we like it or not, this is our identity. We are witnesses of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. This is what he told in Luke's Gospel chapter 24 to his disciples. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. But wait till you are endued with power on high. For what? To be my witnesses. Yeah. So, in Philippians chapter 2, in do all things without complaining, verse 14, without complaining and disputing, that you may become, you see that, blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. The way we do it is by holding fast to the word of life. We cling to the word, the life-giving word, the promises of God. Okay. We become, you see, it's a process that we have to surrender ourselves to become blameless, harmless children of God, without fault, in the midst of a perverse and a crooked generation. That's the call. That's the call of God, to preserve our identity, to guard our identity, and to fight for our identity, and not letting anything or anybody stop and steal what we are in Christ, who we are in Christ. John's Gospel chapter 17, this is what Jesus tells. He's praying in his high priestly prayer for his disciples, and therefore for all of us. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. You know, why does the world hate us? You know what Jesus says? They hate us without a cause. There's no reason. Okay. What we stand for is completely, the reason why they hate us, because the whole world system, the Bible says, is under the sway of the evil one, the wicked one. And therefore, what we stand for, God, the enemy hates, and whoever is on the side of the enemy will hate. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but you should keep them, you see that, from the influence of the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also send them into the world. This is our commission, to be in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, but never allowing any of the influences of the world to disturb or to mar the identity that we are in Christ, who we are in Christ. And therefore, how do we guard our identity? This is what we want to look at practically. How do we guard our identity in Christ? You see, we look at the doctrine in the New Testament, but we want to see patterns in the Old Testament. In Romans chapter 15, this is what it says. Romans chapter 15, verse number 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. And who is our hope? Christ in us is the hope of our glory. Okay. So, we, through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, will have hope. That is the reason why we study the scriptures. Why do we give so much of time for the meditation of the word of God through the week and through a Sunday? Is because we want to understand as to how, through the scriptures, through the patience and the comfort of scriptures, we have hope. We guard that person in us, the new man who is formed in the form of Jesus Christ. And we are all being conformed to his image, right? So how do we live it out? And today I want to look at a fascinating book in the Old Covenant. You see, we all know this. There have been at least 5 exoduses in the Bible. Okay. The very first exodus is the exodus of Abraham from Babylon to the promised land. Okay. That's the exodus, the first exodus. The second exodus is the exodus of the people of God from Egypt to the promised land. Okay. The third exodus, which we'll come to in a while. Fourth exodus is the exodus of Jesus from this world. Okay, he was... you will see that in Luke's Gospel chapter 8, in the Mount of Transfiguration, he talks about his exodus. The fifth, of course, the ultimate exodus is the exodus of the church, that we one day will be raptured from this world system. It's a glorification of God. And there's a very interesting third exodus in the Bible. The exodus of the people of Israel who were captive in Babylon to Jerusalem. Okay. The exodus of the people of God from Babylon to Jerusalem, the world system that they were living in, and to Jerusalem, which is the city of God. And you will see that there are at least 5 books: Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Zechariah, Haggai, Daniel. 6, and the 7th one is Malachi, of course, is the final book. 6 books which talk about this entire episode of the movement of the people of God from Babylon to Jerusalem. And one of the books that is fascinating in its narrative, where the word God is not mentioned at all, And all of us know Esther. Okay? Book of Esther. The word God is not mentioned at all in the book of Esther. No, tipping us off and telling us that this world system is a godless system. In this world system, how we as people of God, like Mordecai and Esther, preserve our identity. It's a godless system. And you'll see the sovereign work of God in the lives of people who guard their identity in Christ. Okay. And of course, when you read the book of Esther, we all think that it is about Esther. You see, that's the reason we call it the book of Esther. But interestingly, in the book of Esther, Esther is mentioned in word 45 times or 46 times. Hadassah, Esther, about 45 times altogether. Mordecai, on the contrary, is mentioned 53 times. Okay. Mordecai, Esther. You know, we can do an incredible study in the book of Esther of different characters. But today I want to talk about this guy, fascinating character called Mordecai. Okay. Mordecai, as to how this man, in the old covenant, is a type of a believer in Christ. Okay. And one of the things that you will see, the refrain about whenever the word Mordecai comes, Mordecai the Jew. You see, at least 7 times in the book of Esther, Mordecai the Jew, the Mordecai the Jew. And we know who is a Jew. At least in the New Testament, we know in Romans chapter 2, verse 28, it says, he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and the circumcision is of the heart and not of the flesh. Okay, not of the letter, but of the spirit, whose praise is not from God, man, but from God. That is a Jew. I mean, that is essentially, we are all found there in Mordecai. Okay, so what we'll do today is, you know, I like what Pastor says, no? Foreground and background. We'll bring this character called Mordecai into the front. And all the other characters in the narrative, will put them as background characters who will amp up this protagonist called Mordecai. Okay? In the book of Esther, Esther is the heroine, but the hero is... Okay, is Mordecai. Okay? The protagonist... So we'll just hide, we'll just fade... all the other characters, even Esther. Okay? And we will prop up Mordecai this morning to understand what it is to be a person who will guard his identity in the midst of a godless generation who will not even mention the name of God. Tipping us off. You see this? You see the entire world system? They do not want to mention God at all. And that is the reason why we see the memorial service of Charlie Kirk. Boy, everybody was talking about Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I don't think in the history of United States ever so much about Jesus was mentioned. Every person who came on the stage, down to Tulsi Gabbard, she talked about Jesus. Okay. Because we are living in a generation who does not want to mention God. But you will see the sovereign hand of God working through the people who have been sold out for the purposes of God. Who will want to guard their identity no matter what the cost. Whatever the cost. Okay. That is what we want to look at Mordecai this morning. Okay. So we will background all the other characters and we'll prop up Mordecai this morning. Okay. Why do we want to prop up Mordecai? You know what the word Mordecai means? Little fellow. Small man. Chota bacha. Chota aadmi. Okay, let me see. Let us introduce him today this morning. In Esther chapter 2. In Shushan, this is how we are introduced to Mordecai, okay? In Shushan the citadel, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai. And look at it. His lineage is mentioned. What is his lineage? The son of Yair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish. A Benjamite of the descendants of what? Saul. Now, we know who Shimei is. He is a person who cursed David. We know Kish, from where we get Saul. And we see in the line of Saul, we see whenever we look at Saul, what comes to our mind? A man who is of the flesh, who has exalted himself before time.
Kish has been carried away from Jerusalem with the captives who had been captured with Jeconiah, king of Judah, from Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. So the first way we need to understand about when we are introduced to this character called Mordecai, something is mentioned over here. He was taken as what? Captives. Under the reign of who? Jeconiah, king of Judah. So the first thing we understand about Mordecai, he is a man. Why is he called a little man? Because he submitted to God's discipline. Okay. How do I know this? Let's see Jeconiah's reign, or Jehoiachin, other translations will call. 2 Kings chapter 24, verse number 14. And he carried into captivity all Jerusalem, all the captains, all the mighty men of valor, 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and smiths. None remained except the poorest of the people of the land. And he carried Jehoiachin captive to Babylon, the king's mother, the king's wives, his officers, and the mighty of the land. And he carried into Babylon captivity, carried into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. So this is the context. He's been taken as captive. And who was prophesying about this captivity? Jeremiah. No, Jeremiah. The bottom line of Jeremiah's message was, please repent so that you don't get into captivity. Okay. People will not listen. Okay, you know, you have to learn the hard way. Okay. But now they've gone into captivity. Jeremiah says, stay there. Okay. Where do you have to stay? Stay there. I'm going to tell you this in Jeremiah chapter 29. This is what it says. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive, to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. This happened after who? Jeconiah. You see that? The context? Jeconiah, the queen mother. The eunuchs, the princes of Judah. So what did he say to the people who are in captivity? You know what he said? In verse 11, the famous 11 verse that we all know. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Let me tell you something. If you are a child of God, if you bear his name, if he is disciplining you, it's a fact or it is a symbol that he loves you. And you have hope. You have hope this morning. If you are going through the disciplining of God, you have a hope. If he leaves you to yourself, boy, you have no hope. Yeah. You have hope this morning. He has plans to prosper you, not to harm you. You will understand your latter end, but go through the process. So who's Mordecai? He says, Lord, I know the iniquity of my forefathers, man who resisted the disciplines of God. But I will break that iniquity and I will submit to the disciplines of God in my life. If you submit to the disciplines of God, you have hope this morning. Hebrews chapter 12. No matter who you are, let me tell you, my dear brothers, sisters, no matter who you are, you will have to go through discipline. There's no other way. Even his own son, he learned obedience through the things that he suffered, although he was a son. There's no other way. You cannot escape it. Look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 onwards. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement? What is the word of encouragement, Baba? What is the word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses a son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. And do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves. And he chastens everyone he accepts as a son. This is inevitable. Doesn't matter how holy you think you are. It is impossible for any child of God to escape the disciplines of God. Alright? So what should you do, therefore? End your hardship. Everybody say, end your hardship. As discipline. Okay. End your hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. Do you believe that? I'm a child of God. And therefore, what will God do to you?
He will discipline you. For what God, what children are not disciplined by their father? Ask me. Okay? If you are not disciplined, and everyone, look at this, I like this, everyone, everybody say everyone, everyone undergoes discipline. That you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Even to the most, you know, compromised church, he promises them incredible, you know, if you overcome, I'll give you the right to sit on my father's throne. And this is what he says in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 19. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be what? Honest. Be honest and repent. You see, one of the things that we need to understand, when we are going through the chastening of God, submit to the disciplines of God and allow the character of God to be formed. Be patient in discipline and chastening. Don't run away. Okay. Which teachers do you remember in your life? Yeah, the tough ones. I remember all my tough teachers, including Joseph, sir. My mother, my parents know. Oh my God, they were tough. I want my homework tomorrow morning. B square SHY used to say. I said, what is B square SHY? Beg, borrow, steal. Or do anything, okay? I want it done tomorrow morning. Okay. I remember that. B square SHY formula, I know. Because of my teacher. Tough teachers. But you know why? We are at least good in some areas in our lives because we had tough teachers who encouraged us, disciplined us, showed us the right way. They may not be necessarily right in whatever techniques they employed. But now we have come to the complete other spectrum now. We don't discipline our children at all. They can do all kinds of tantrums in the class. One brother was telling me, we cannot say anything to them. We have to write in their diary, please discipline your children at home. Don't send them out of the class. Don't shout at them. Don't scream at them. They can throw all the tantrums. That is the reason why we have such a weak generation. They walk in eggshells. You have to walk in eggshells. What will they feel? Feel aipotaru vallu. They're all Sukumar. Sukumar, you know, tender. Not nice Kumar. Sukumar means not nice Kumar. It's very, very, very tender people. They cannot endure discipline. But you know, the first generation which came out of Egypt, they could not endure. But the next generation who's going to enter into the promised land, the reason why they will enter and possess the promised land, because they have been used to a lifestyle of discipline. This is what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 3 onwards. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word from the mouth of God. Your clothes did not wear out, your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplined you. And therefore, you know what happens to this generation? Absolutely disciplined. You know what they tell Joshua? Let the Lord be with you. As we listen to Moses, we will listen to you. If anybody does not listen to you, you know what we will do to him? Cut his head off. Finished. No negotiations. Okay. So, what is the lesson? Don't be a proud man like Saul. Become little before God. He will exalt you in due time. Okay, that is Mordecai. Submit to discipline. That is how you guard your identity. Okay. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to the elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he may lift you in due time. Cast all your anxiety upon him, and he cares for you. So the lesson that we need to learn, let the Lord have his way. I like Peter's song. No? I love that song that he sings every time we have our prayer meetings that we in Tuesday. He says, let the Lord have his way in your life every day. There's no peace, there's no rest until the Lord has his way.
Have your way, O Lord. Surrender this morning. You have hope. If you are being disciplined, you have hope. Okay. You know why? Because it says in Psalm 81, look at what it says in Psalm 81. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. Lord, let me not be among them. Let me not be among them. So first lesson, submit to the disciplines of God. You will guard your identity. Okay, don't run away when the word is tough. Like the other disciples who said, this is a hard teaching. Look what they missed in eternity. They'll all be kicking themselves in eternity. If at all they made it to eternity. The second one from Mordecai's life. Mordecai had brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. The young woman was lovely and beautiful. When her father and mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. Now, the way you guard your identity, second, take responsibility for a fatherless generation. You know why they had Charlie Kirk? Charlie Kirk was such a man, 31 years, he fathered so many spiritual children. At 31. You know, this is what it says in James chapter 1, verse 27. Look at, this is what it says. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep yourselves being polluted by the world. You know, this word and, you see this and over here? How is the word and? It's in italics. What does it mean? In the original translation, it's not there. Okay, now let's imagine that you don't have and. Read it now. Religion that our God Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after for orphans and widows in their distress. Huh? Ah! So in other words, to keep yourself unspotted from the world, what do you have to do? I did not say that. This is the heart of Jesus. Look at how he talks to his disciples when he's about to leave now. He's about to go to the cross in John's Gospel chapter 14. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. That is the reason why the Bible says God has given us a spirit, the spirit of adoption by which we cry out what? Abba Father. Daddy. Daddy. See, one of the ways we actually guard our identity is by training the next generation. And by fathering spiritual children. Okay. You know, it's very easy to have children. It's not easy to be a father. As a father is a different ballgame altogether. Okay. And to be a father to a daughter is even more challenging. Three times more. Because I never in my life have ever, for example, you get a good mark. Okay, good job. Fantastic. I mean, never heard that. No, what's next? That's the kind of an upbringing that I had. I mean, that's what I also thought, no? What's next? Yeah, after this, what's next? But now, fantastic job, baby. Kya baat hai? Kya baat hai? You're so good. Come on, you can do it. We use superlatives. You're the bestest. Have you seen? I mean, I think it's all Gargar ki kahani, no? We cannot. See, but we need. Mordecai, on his part, he did two parts. He mothered Esther and he fathered Esther. Both are important. As the pastor was talking about, mothering is, no, a patient work, fathering is, no,
a disciplining work, but to be a mother and a father at the same time. Look at what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, for we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but our own lives. This is the spirit of Christ, my dear brothers and sisters. Pour yourself into the next generation. You don't have to have a bunch of people. You don't have to have a bunch of people. You just need to have a few. Teach them to be men. Teach them to be men who will honor women. Teach them to be men who will keep their eyes pure. Teach them to be men who will know how to talk to the opposite gender. Teach them how to honor. Okay. See, most of the teaching in the church, I believe, although it is for the woman, there is a part of the teaching, but it is actually to the men. You need to understand that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged everyone as a father does his own children. Do you see that? Okay. Charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his holy kingdom of glory and glory. So what was the mission of Mordecai? You see, let me tell you something. There was one soul which was entrusted into the hand of Mordecai. And he was faithful to that one soul. And you know what God did? He gave the entire nation into his hands. You don't want to look for a huge ministry, my dear brothers and sisters. There was one soul or two, three souls in your own house which God has entrusted into your hands. Do everything in your capacity to mentor them. Look at what it says in Esther chapter 2 about Mordecai. Now Esther had not revealed her family and her people just as Mordecai what? Charged her. Okay. For Esther obeyed the commandment of Mordecai as when she was brought up by him. In other words, in his absence, away from his absence, she had her identity fixed. She said, you know what? My spiritual father has told this about me. This is how I'm supposed to live. And he modeled a life before me. How he gave himself for me. He fathered me and he also mothered me. You know why Esther finds favor in the eyes of the eunuchs? You know why? Because he is a humble child. She's an obedient child. There's a spirit of meekness that is emanating from her. Because the scripture describes about the beauty of Esther. But whenever scripture describes the beauty of Esther, it's not the external beauty. It's the internal beauty of a meek, gentle, and a quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. And in what eunuchs do, they say, what, this girl, she's got a different attitude. And automatically they show favor. Why? God resists the proud. But he gives what? Favor to the humble. How do we know that she was humble? Because she submitted to her spiritual father's authority. My dear brothers, sisters, young children, if you want the hand of God over your lives, let me exhort you in the authority of God's word. Be submissive to your parents and God will show you favor. God will show you favor. Why did God show favor to Joseph in the prison in Potiphar's house? Because he submitted to his father in his home. And he carried out the desires of his father. He was zealous for the name of his father. And therefore God showed favor wherever he went. Understand this. And look at what it says. Esther had not revealed her people or family, for Mordecai had charged her not to reveal it. And every day Mordecai paced in front of the courts, in front of the court for the women's quarters to learn of Esther's welfare and what was happening to her. Oh my goodness. He is looking after this girl. There was a deposit of the Spirit into her life. There was an investment of the Spirit into her life. There was an investment of God into her life. And he was guarding that investment with prayer and meditation and ensuring that she takes the right decisions in her life. The lesson that I learned, the way to guard our identity is to pour out into the next generation. Oh, I'm telling you,
Pour out. This is not my principle. These are God's principles. Look at what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you will see this refrain through the book of Deuteronomy. This is just not once. I'm just giving you one snippet as to what God requires from His people. Look at the commission through Asaph. When Asaph is writing about the history of the children of Israel, in Psalm 78, this is what it says: "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." What did He tell us? "We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done." And goes on, "And He has, for He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children." Okay. And does it stop there? No. "That the generation to come might know them again. The children who would be born, that they may raise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments." You know, one man of God, David Wilkerson, says, "We need to look at the book of Joshua. When we read the book of Joshua, you will see that it is almost a book of defeat." You know why? They raised another generation which did not know God. And what happened as a result? They went into captivity. So every church should at least think about four generations. Minimally. That is how you guard your identity. You work on your identity. You sanctify yourself for their sakes now. Like Jesus sanctified Himself for the disciples' sake. Esther, chapter 2. Next thing that we learn about Mordecai. When the virgins were gathered together the second time, Mordecai sat within the king's gate. Everybody say king's gate. Fantastic. You will see the refrain king's gate at least occurring 10 times in the book of Esther. What does gate stand for? What does gate stand for? Judgment. So what is the lifestyle of a person who is guarding his identity? Is always what? Judging himself. What is he specifically judging? We need to understand that this morning. What is he judging specifically? Specifically, what is he judging? This is what it says about Mordecai in Esther chapter 2, verse number 21 onwards. "In those days, while Mordecai sat within the king's gate, two of the king's eunuch, Bigthan and Teresh, doorkeepers, became furious and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus." Who was there at the king's gate? Mordecai. You know what Bigthan means? Bigthan means winepress or rebellion. What does God do to the rebellious when Jesus comes back? What does He do? He crushes them in the winepress of God's wrath. Bigthan means winepress. Teresh means austere or strict or self-righteous. So what is he judging at the king's gate? He's judging two things in his heart. He's judging rebellion and self-righteousness. You want to guard your identity in Christ? Two things you have to continuously guard your heart against is rebellion and self-righteousness. Okay, sometimes you think that you are better than the others. No. If God were to take His hand over from your life, you will be as good as nobody. You know, one of the constant refrains of the people who came out of Babylon, you know what is the constant refrain that you will see in all the books? You will see the good hand of God over their lives. You want to have the good hand of God over your life? Judge rebellion and self-righteousness. Constantly. Constantly. So how do we judge it? You are not going to be quiet about it.
You're going to speak it out. Look at what it says in Esther chapter 2. So the matter became known to Mordecai, who told Queen Esther. Esther informed the king Mordecai's name. And when an inquiry was made into the matter, it was confirmed. And both were what? Hanged on the gallows. You know what the word for gallows is? In actual, the original Hebrew, etz. You know what the word etz means? Tree. You know what the word tree means? You know what tree is, right? The cross. So what should you do? Crucify the self-righteous fellow and the rebellious fellow every day on the cross. Old man. That is how you break the iniquity of Saul in your lives and you will remain a Mordecai. What does Mordecai mean? What does Mordecai mean? Mordecai mean? Little fellow. Little bit of rebellion comes in your heart. Humble yourself. A little bit of pride comes. Humble yourself. And therefore, you know what God does? If you don't humble yourself, He will send failure into your lives. Until you say, Ratrantayu Srama Padina Raledu Prabhuje. Children, did you catch anything? No, sir. Empty. Kuch bhi nahi hai. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 23. Learn from your ancestor Saul. For rebellion is a sin of what? Witchcraft. I'll tell you something. Wherever you see rebellion, you will see witchcraft. Because ultimately you need some power. If you don't get God's power, where will you go? Soul power. And what is soul power? Witchcraft. Manipulation. Intimidation. It's all soul power. Who's empowering you? This kind of wisdom is not from above. It is earthly. It is sensual. It is demonic. I wrote it for myself, no? If I have to remain little, I have to constantly judge rebellion and self-righteousness in my heart. Understand this. Okay? Guard your heart. You want to keep your identity? Guard your identity in the midst of a perverse and a crooked generation. And one thing that you like about Charlie is the testimony of others, the testimony of his wife. I mean, that guy was ripe. And he just ripened so fast. Mature. What wisdom he had. Amazing. The next thing about Mordecai in Esther, okay? Mordecai, we're learning about Mordecai in Esther, okay? Esther chapter 3. After these things, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman. Now tell me, who did good? Mordecai or Haman? Was there anything in Haman to get promotion? No. Was there anything in Mordecai that deserves promotion? Yes. What did Haman have? Charisma. What was Mordecai? Little. He didn't even directly approach the king. He sent word through Esther. He doesn't even want his name to be mentioned. In your company, I mean, we all know, right? The person with charisma gets the promotion. I mean, it's interesting. This is not my statistics. Statistics have shown that if you have two women with the same qualification, you know who gets a job? The person who has got more beauty. I'm not saying this. You go to any HR. They have done these statistics. The person who is more beautiful on the outside, who has got more charisma, he or she has got the chance of making it. But look at this. Now, after all the good things that you have done, Mordecai, to deserve the praise and the appraisal and the praise of the king, whom did he promote? Haman. Okay, it's like you go to your boss and you see one fellow in your office getting promoted. He said, Lord, this fellow was Haman. The Agagite. You know what Haman means? Magnificent. Splendor. Beauty. You know what? A picture of the devil. A picture of the man in the flesh, empowered by the demonic.
Who was he? The Agagite. Who was he? The enemy of God. He was of the descendants of the Amalekites. And what did Amalekites do in Exodus chapter 15, sorry, 17 verse number 16? It says, he raised his hand against the throne of God. That is the Amalekite. There's a spirit of the Amalekite. The spirit of rebellion. You see it all around the world. You see it all around the world. They raise their hands, their fists against the throne of God. Against the righteous judgments of God. You are promoted. The Agagite, the Amalekite. And who left this Agagite? His forefather. Who was that? Saul. Now who was to deal with it? The descendants. Okay, you do certain things, your people in the bloodline have to deal with those things. So before that happens, deal with those things right now. And let this first have a fresh start. But look at this. The fourth character of Mordecai, this is what I wrote for myself. He did not lust after promotion before time. Note this. Note this. You want to keep your identity? Do not lust after promotion before time. There is a process that you and I need to go through. Like Pastor was saying, patience is not a tablet that you can take and you'll have it. You can get vitamin C, but not patience. There's no vitamin P. Okay. Patience cannot be... You have to learn long suffering, like Derek Prince says. No, you have to learn long sufferings. How? By suffering long. You know what the word actually long suffering means? The word for long suffering is very interesting. The word for long suffering means to be the same in all circumstances. I mean, it's remarkable. To have the courage of conviction and your character in all circumstances. That is what the word long suffering means. You know what the word purpose means? The word purpose, no? For all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. You know what the word purpose means? The word for purpose in the original Hebrew, in the original Greek is shewbread. So where do you find your purpose? Not in the outer courts. You have to pass through the veil, come under authority, you will find the shewbread over there. That is where you find the will of God. The purpose of God for your life. Shewbread. So there is an exaltation, but not before character. The character of God has to be formed in your life. You see, there's a parallel between the life of Mordecai and the life of Joseph. Do you see that? Whenever Joseph does something for the king's servants, that fellow goes and forgets. So even the king forgot. You'll see the parallel. Okay. I mean, you actually look at Esther. It's a fascinating book. It's a beautiful book of reversals. Okay. It's actually true. It's like, it's literally like a mirror image of what happens to a person of God, to the people of God, or a person who's under the government of God. When he comes under the authority of God, he submits himself to the purposes of God in his life. There's an absolute reversal of fortunes that happens. Okay. You'll see that in the book of Esther. But that's not our main aim today. He did not lust after promotion before time. Look at what it says in Philippians chapter 2. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance of as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. So what does God do? He exalts. See, you do all these things, God will exalt. So what is the lesson? Don't let anyone, including yourself, flatter to exaltation. Okay? Don't let anyone flatter you to exaltation. Or you deserve promotion, Ray. Come on, what is this? Inqilab Zindabad, Lal Salam, Lal Salam. I never understood what it was. All communists. Have you seen socialist building? You see Barack Obama's building, you will see. It's one lump of concrete. Shapeless. No beauty at all. On the other hand, you will see Trump Towers.
Total contrast. One man who sucked up the public's property and built nothing. One man who came by himself and built something. It's a contrast. So therefore in Psalm 75, this is what it says. I said to the boastful, do not deal boastfully. Thank you. And to the wicked, do not lift up the horn. Kommu paiki lepaku. Then you know, that's the reason we say in Telugu. Kommulastunai niku. Niku kommulastunai. Don't be, in other words, don't exalt yourself. Do not speak with a stiff neck. For exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. Ante, don't try to get recommendations from anybody. Give me references, brother. But God is the judge. He puts down one, he exalts another. So let him do it. Okay. And look at what it says in Esther chapter 3. And all the king's servants who were within the king's gate bowed and paid homage to Haman. For so the king had commanded concerning him. But Mordecai would not bow or pay homage. Then the king's servants who were within the king's gate said to Mordecai, why do you transgress the king's commandment? You know what his answer is? Now it happened when they spoke to him. How? Daily. Hey, do it now. The fellow's a very bad fellow. Why do you want to get into those bad books? Just do it off. And he would not listen to them. And they told it to Haman to see you whether Mordecai's words would stand, for Mordecai had told them that he was a... I'm a Jew. I am a Jew. And I'm not going to compromise. You'll see this in the people. If you look at all the people whom God used in the Exodus from Babylon to Egypt, to Jerusalem, you'll see all those guys who are used of God. They never lost their identity in Babylon. They stuck to their identity. They hung on to their identity. You can call us Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, but we will not bow down to your idols. You can make a decree for 30 days. Nobody should pray. I will pray. You cannot take it away from us because that is our identity. You know what the word Zerubbabel means? Stranger in Babylon. What is he going to do now? He's going to come back and he's going to rebuild the broken down temple in Jerusalem. Zerubbabel. Stranger in Babylon. They did not like his name. So they changed his name to something else. Zerubbabel. Who are you? Zerubbabel. What does it mean? Stranger in Babylon. I don't belong here. I don't belong here, and I'm not going to let anybody or anything compromise our identity. Especially Haman? No way. I'm not going to bow down to him. So what does it tell me? So if you want to guard your identity, fifth principle, he feared God more than he feared man. That's it. The way to compensate or the way to cancel out every fear of man is to fear God. Understand? To fear God, to reverence God. To have the fear of God, that is the portion that we need to really inculcate in our hearts. Matthew chapter 10, this is what it says in verse 27. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. I'm a Jew now, I'm not going to hide it. And what you hear in the ear, preach in the housetops, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Understand that? Why? Because he cares for you. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. And in other words, incomparable, basically. In Acts chapter 5, this is what it says about the disciples. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Understand this. Inculcate this principle even in your own children. Better not to copy and get less marks than to sell your soul for 2 marks.
rest of your life, you will never be able to enjoy the day grade. Understand that? You got an A grade, copying, you will never be able to enjoy it. That fellow will be staring in your face, not mine, not yours, Vijay, not yours, not yours. I told you, you know, the story of the fox. Fox took some money from the earth, and one day the earth came to fox and said, "Fox, fox, give me my money." He said, "Oh my goodness, let me run away to Canada." So he went to Canada. When he reached Canada, the earth said, "Fox, fox, give me my money." He said, "Oh Lord, let me run away to the US." He ran to US. "Fox, fox, give me my money." "You're a fox. Wherever you run, you'll be a fox." That A grade will be staring at your eyes. Not yours. Not yours. Not yours. Fox. Understanding. That A grade will be staring into your eyes. You know, I remember when I was listening to Zach Poonen, in my growing up years, growing up in the Lord, I was like, I used to listen to Zach Poonen 24/7. That thing used to be running in my hostel room. And one day, something happened, it says, and several years later, I was listening to his sermon, and again it says, he said, "I know this brother who copied in the exam, and then after that he got saved. Then he went to the university and he said, 'Sir, these marks are not mine. I want to take it and take it. I want to give it back to you.'" I heard that and I said, "Lord, why did I have to hear this?" So because several years back, we had an open book exam. Open notes exam means carry your notes, not somebody else's notes. So in that exam, I did not take my notes. I took my friend's notes and wrote the exam and I got A. Now that A grade is staring in my eyes. Staring in my eyes. Not yours, Vijay. Not yours. Now I did not know what to do. Pradeep Sirkar. Professor Pradeep Sirkar, IIT Kanpur. I called him up. No, I did not call him up. I emailed him. You know why? You know how I emailed him? The guy who was his student came to IIIT as a professor and he said he's still existing. Email him. I so wrote him an email. I said, "Sir, 2001 batch, 2003 batch, Y110, 421. I was 420, I became 1. "Sir, I copied in the exam, sir. I'm sorry." He sent me a reply and he said, "It's okay." You see, that A grade will stare at your life all the days of your life. Now I know it is good to be Charlie Kirk. Don't be educated at all. you will have no grade staring at you. No, having said that, he had 31 courses that he did online. 31 courses by the time he was 31 years. Okay? Get a degree. What sayest thou, students? You know why I work hard with my students? Because I don't want them to have opportunities to copy. No. I want to dot every I, cross every T. Not to get 100 marks. You don't have to look at other people's work because you're confident in your subject. Okay. Let's go to the next one. Don't fear man, fear God. You will guard your identity. The hand of God will be over your life and He will raise you up at the right moment. Okay. Because your promotion is not based upon your degree from IIT or IIIT. One more I they added. I cube T. I square T to I cube T. It's all I only. I. Self-exaltation to the power of 3. It's for Trinity. I don't know. Okay. Esther chapter 4. Let's go to the next one. When Mordecai learned all that had happened, he tore his clothes. You know the story. You know what the story is? No, Haman is angry. You know, one man stands for God, you become a threat to his kingdom. You know why? Because you're a bully, you can't stand one fellow standing against you, because you know one fellow stands against you, all of the others will follow course. You understand? One fellow stands against you, you will have all the other guys standing against you. Because the enemy does not like, he's a bully, and if you stand to a bully, he will hate you. Now what do you want? What does he want to do? He wants to destroy the entire race of the Jews. There can be no negotiating with the devil. He did not go and say, Haman, why do you want to put my people in risk? Let us make a negotiation, please. No samjhota. No. He did not go to Haman. What? Why are you doing this to all my people? Let's have an agreement. Okay, you want this? Bowing down? Let me bow down. We will be pushed to corners, my dear brothers and sisters. We have to make decisions today. Today. Not tomorrow when the situation comes. Today, we are not going to negotiate with the devil. We are going to put him on notice. In other words, it is better to die fighting. Matthew chapter 4. This is the Spirit of Christ. The devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of this world and their glory. And he said to them, all these things I will give to you if you what? Fall down and worship me. The same Haman. It's the same fellow. That's what David says, no? Satan came like a lion. Satan came like a bear. Satan is coming like what? Goliath. Same fellow. Different forms. The God who rescued it from the devil, from devil in the form of a lion, the devil in the form of a bear, the same God will rescue me from the hand of this guy. Not only that, he will give him into my hands. But there's no negotiating with him. No. Is there not a cause? That's what he says. Is there not a cause? And you know what, Jonathan, when he actually encapsulates this episode, he says, do you not know that this young guy actually risked his life? It's a risk, my dear brothers and sisters. When you say, here I am, it's a risk. Because you do not know what God is going to ask you after that. Here am I, Lord. Take your son. Put him on the altar. Here am I, Lord. Father said Joseph Father Jacob. He said, go and look after your sons. Look after your brothers. Look and see whether they are good. It's a risk. They hate you. They might even kill you. But it's a risk. Isaiah said, here I am, my Lord. Here I am, Lord. You know what he said? Okay, I'm going to send you to a people who will not hear you. But one day, you know what they're going to do? They're going to saw you into two. Are you okay with that? Yes, it's a risk. Jonathan told his armor bearer, let's go and fight. You know what the armor bearer said? Here I am, Lord. If I perish, let me perish with you. But I'm not going to give it up. Every time you say, here I am, it is a risk. But if you love your life, you will lose it. If you lose your life, you will gain it. What do you want to do? Hide yourself in Moab and lose your life? Or you stay in Bethlehem whether you die, but you will not leave the presence of God. You thought you will go to Moab and save your children. But you went to Moab and killed your children. You killed it. You killed them because it was your decision. That cost their lives. Any mention about the people who died in Bethlehem? No. No, you will not die. God will visit you one day. That's the reason why, you know what? The lepers say, what is the problem? What is the point over here? If we stay here, we will die. If you go back, we will die. Let us go and fall into the hand of the Assyrians. We may live. Who knows? Who knows? But I'll tell you something. If you put your hands up for God, He's never going to let you go. Even if you die, absent in the body, present with the Lord in glory. Frank Turek, if I'm right, you know what he said? I saw the last moments when Charlie died. I looked into his eyes. There was a smile in his eyes because I knew instantly he was in the presence of God. When that guy challenges me, I get so uncomfortable whenever I listen to him. You know what Jesus said? Away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God. And everybody say, Him only you will serve. Him only. Resist him. 1 Peter chapter 5. How? Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Nothing is different. Same sufferings. Okay, understand this. No negotiations with Haman. No sitting across a table and coming to a truce. No truce. I mean, I love the stand of United States against. I mean, it's a sad state of affairs. If you think about it, everybody is dying everywhere. But you know what? One thing they said, we are not going to recognize Palestine. All the other compromised nations, we can't recognize. But if you recognize, we have given in to their threats. But we will not. There's no negotiation. No negotiations with terrorists. And who is a terrorist? Devil is a terrorist. Okay, but you don't negotiate with him. I remember a man of God here in our two states. He was, you know, doing deliverance ministry in one place, in a remote place in Andhra. Him and his wife met with an accident and they were in the hospital. So another servant of God visited him in the hospital. And he said, Sylvie, what is this, Sylvie? How many times I told you don't go to Satan? Leave him alone. See how nice I am. I left him alone. He left me alone. You know what that man of God said? Gee. No way. You know, in Telugu it's very interesting. Paurushamto jeevinchandi. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse number 20. Don't have to go there. No? 16, if I'm right. 16 verse 20. 16 verse 19, 20. Paurusham kaligi. Behave ye like men. In English, in Telugu, Paurusham kaligi jeevinchandi. Paurusham. Means have some spiritual ballast. In other words, to stand against the devil and his threats. Okay. Esther chapter 4. Let's go on. He went as far as the front of the, I like this again. What is that? King's gate. For no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. You see, one of the things that he realized, that his battle with Haman is not physical. Cannot be done with negotiations. It is spiritual. I like what one man of God, I think Vlad, if I'm right, he said, you know, you don't take a knife to a gunfight. What will happen to you? Die. I remember, you know, there's a very interesting video in National Geographic about this lion, King Lion. He went and started playing with the King Cobra, trying to threaten the King Cobra. King Cobra. You know what the King Cobra did? One shot it gave him. Within few minutes, he died of poison. You don't take, you know your battles and you know the weapons. You don't negotiate with the devil, but you also realize that this warfare is not physical, it is spiritual. Interesting, isn't it? They go into a time of fasting and sackcloth. What is that? In other words, they are saying, Lord, we don't have any defense against this. And we were not going to compromise. We will rather die, but Lord, come to our rescue. Look at what it says in Isaiah chapter 37. About Hezekiah, when Sennacherib comes and threatens him the second time. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed to the Lord saying, O Lord of hosts. I like that. You know what the word Lord of hosts means? Jehovah Shabbos. And if you read the entire, if you recall all the episodes, not episodes, the books that which are written during the Babylonian captivity, you know, one of the refrains, constant refrains that you will see, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts. Haggai, you will see a Lord of hosts. Zechariah, you will see a Lord of hosts. In other words, he is the Lord of the angel armies. He is the head. He is the commander of the armies. He is fighting your battles. You rise up and build. Don't negotiate with the devil. So what do we do? O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubims. Now tell me, what is there between the cherubims? What do we have? What do we have between the cherubims? What do we have between the cherubims? What is it called? The mercy seat. Yes or no? It's a mercy seat between the cherubims. You know what is he saying? Lord, we come to the mercy seat. Lord, we need your mercy. We need your steadfast love. It's your only your mercy, O Lord. Mercy, Lord, mercy, Lord, mercy, 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 Lord. You alone of all the kingdoms, you alone are God of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and you have made earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear and open your eyes, O Lord, and see and hear all the words of Sennacherib which he has sent to reproach the living God. It is not against us, Lord. He is doing it against you. Because our identity is hidden in you, Lord. We are not fighting it. In our own strength. And we are not going to compromise. We are not going to negotiate with the devil, O Lord. But we are hiding ourselves in you, O Lord. You show up, Lord Jesus. You show up. And the angel of the Lord went out. I love this. And killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. Wow. You know what it's telling us? You know, these are not stories in the Bible. These are things which will empower and galvanize your faith so that you will take your rightful place in the hands, in the kingdom of God. And you will fight your battles and not give up anywhere. You'll saturate yourself with the word. You will spend time in the word. You will pray and fast and seek the face of God. Because that is the only way you can win your battles. Yesterday, Pastor was talking about, you know, if you have issues in your marriage, what do you do? Like Isaac went and said, Lord, please. He pleaded with the Lord. And what did Rebecca do? She inquired of the Lord. Two things. Pleading, inquiring. Pleading, inquiring. Wow, how simple it is. But those are the only two things we don't do. We call, Pastor. Lord, please. Fight our battles. Actually, the Lord is doing it. That's the reason why we sang that song. It was so powerful this morning, you know. Even when we don't see it, you are working. You never stop. You know, I'll tell you why. You know why it is like this, no? When we come to the Lord, most of our lives are entwined like this. Okay? Have you seen, no? When you used to do patang, you used to have the chakra. Okay? So, those days, if you don't wind up the thread properly, everything gets coiled like this. Now you have to untwine it. It's not easy. To get into twine is very simple. Get into that, you know, twisted coil is very simple. Everything gets coiled like that and slowly you have to do it. You know what God is doing? Slowly He's doing one thing at a time, one thing at a time. Say, Lord, please, Lord, Lord, please, Lord, you're fighting. You know what's going to happen? Coils are going to increase. Okay, just surrender. God will show up at the right time. Silence, no? I don't know if it's agreement. Okay. There were corpses all dead. And you know what happened next? So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home and remained in Nineveh. Now it came to pass as he was worshipping in the house of Nisroch. You see how hard this guy is. Never learns his lesson. He will never bend his knee to Yahweh. That his sons, Adramelech and Sharez, struck him down with the sword and they escaped in the land of Ararat. And his son took his place. So what does the church do when they are threatened? Acts chapter 2. And who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered against the Lord and against his Christ. They did not gather against you. That's the reason why, Saul, why are you persecuting me?
Oh, you have the sanction of the state. You have the sanction of the Sanhedrin. You have sanction of everybody, the religious authority and even the political authority. But you know what you're doing? You're touching me. You're touching me. You need to understand that he who touches you touches the apple of God's eye. So if you are given over to the purchases, to the purposes of God, and if your heart is for Jerusalem and not in Babylon, wherever you are, you're saying, Lord, I'm sold out for Jerusalem. Sold out for you and for your people. God's hand is over our life. But if you are for yourself, don't expect God. Right? Now the Lord took his threats. No, Lord, look on their threats and grant your servants that with what? All boldness they may speak your word. So you know what Mordecai says to Esther? Don't give me clothes. New clothes, I don't need new clothes. I don't need new food. Madam, start fasting and praying. How many days? 3 days. It's interesting, isn't it? 3 days, the fortunes will change. 3 days is a number of resurrection. 3 days is submitting yourself and nailing yourself to the cross. On the other side, there is resurrection. So what happens? That night, the king could not sleep. What is that night? The very night this fellow was supposed to be. The next day, Mordecai is supposed to be on the gallows. On the cross, in other words. And the king cannot sleep. Praise God. Why? 23:1 Proverbs says, the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord, and he turns it whichever way he wishes. You see, all these big people, political people, they think that they are all, you know what they are? They are pawns in the hands of God. They are actually fulfilling the purposes of God in our generation. That's exactly what Nebuchadnezzar learned. I am not king, he is king. And if his hand is not over my life, I'll become just like an animal. The sovereignty of God. So what does he do? And it was found written that Mordecai had told Bigthana and Teresh, two of king's eunuchs, the doorkeepers who had sought to lay hands on the king. Then the king said, what honor or dignity has been bestowed on Mordecai for this? And you know that exactly at that moment, the sovereignty of God, Haman wants to hang him. And exactly, what should I do to the person whom God wants to the king wants to honor? Do this. This is what has to be done to the guy whom the king desires to honor. Okay. Take this. And do it to Mordecai. Shot. Then the king said to Haman, hurry, take the robe and the horse as you have suggested. And do so for Mordecai. Where? Look at this. For Mordecai, the Jew who sits at the... You see, this guy is always where? At the king's gate. This king's gate is interesting. What is he doing? Lord, constantly judging himself. Mordecai, the Jew, will always be found at the king's gate. Constantly judging himself. Leave nothing undone for all that is spoken. You know what they do? They put all this onto Mordecai. They take him around the city. You know what happens after this is done? This is what happens in Esther chapter 6. Afterward, Mordecai went back where? To the king's gate. You know what he's saying? I do not want the dress of Haman. I want the dress of Christ. I do not want his death. That's his death. The battle is still not over. I have to hide myself in Christ, in the cross. This is what he says. This is what I wrote. He realized the battle is not over. He continued to hide himself in Christ. He continued.
In Joshua chapter 3 verse number 17, this is what it says about the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all Israel, everybody say all Israel. Now tell me, when who goes into the baptism tank first? Tell me, in our church, who goes into the baptism tank first? Pastor. Who comes out last? Pastor. Until all have crossed over. That is the stance of a shepherd. So what does he do? He goes into the baptism tank, just like Jesus went. He's there. At every baptism service, you know who's there? Jesus is there. Whether you like it or not, it's a very powerful event, I'm telling you, my dear brothers and sisters. It's very, very powerful. Don't take it lightly. You know, in our church, I remember one baptism service that's so vivid in my mind. You know, the power and the presence of God was so powerful. Sam just went into the water just like that. The Spirit of God just went and dunked him even before Sam, Pastor laid his hands on him. So powerful. Powerful experience because Jesus was there. And at that time, who was there? Mordecai is there. You know, what is he doing? It's just not about me. I don't want to be exalted. I don't want this dress. I don't want the dress of Haman. That's his dress. That dress does not have authority. It's got fashion. It's got vanity. It's got pride. I do not want to wear the dress of pride and vanity. I want to be a humble servant of God. I want to be hidden in Christ. I want to go into the waters and stay there until all my children, all my spiritual children, everybody passes over. You know, in my school, who gives me the greatest joy if he succeeds in his exam? One kid I know. I know. And I pray that he does well in life. And if that kid does well, that'll be tremendous joy for me. You know why? Because that's exactly what Jesus does. I want all my children to pass over. Who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, the river of death. And all Israel crossed over the dry ground until all the people had crossed over completely over the Jordan. My dear brothers and sisters, every brother, every sister over here has a bunch of people whom God is going to give to your hands. And it will be your responsibility to cause them to cross over. Until that time, don't wear the dress of Haman. Put it away. The Bible says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and do not give any provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. He said, no, at the king's gate, at my post. Esther chapter 7. I like this. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Look at this. Then the king's wrath was. Have you seen this verse? Do you see the gospel here? Do you see the gospel? You know what the word gallows I told you? Tree. It's exactly the word tree. So they hanged Vijay on the tree. No. Somebody else who took my place and had been prepared for Mordecai. Until whose wrath was satisfied. You see the cross? See the cross? Now, Esther chapter 8. So Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in what apparel now? Royal apparel. Now, I will put on those garments. Not any time else. What does it tell me? Put off the old man and put on the new man. Put off. Make that fellow die. Crucify him. I tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, go into all the world Make disciples of all nations and do what? How? Before teaching, what should you do? What should you do before teaching? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Tell them, you know what? When you get baptized, your old man is dead. Live in that reality every day of your life. I remember when we came out of the waters of baptism, Shibu looked at all of us and he said, Vijay, tell the devil now. Tell the devil. That fellow's here. Tell him. Tell him, you're no longer old, you're new. Tell him now. Tell the devil. I mean, that experience was a tremendous experience. I tell you, baptism is fantastic. It's a fantastic experience. If you truly get baptized, it's a one incredible experience. It's inexplicable. Something shifts in your life after that. It's like there's a different gear in the spirit. Of course, you have more trouble. You know, somebody said, no, what is the sign that you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit? Trouble. You will have troubles for sure. But it will be worth it. Look at what it says in... I'm so sorry. Excuse me. I'm just going to change these. It's not... Can you just please change it to Ephesians chapter 4, please? I'm so sorry. Typo error. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Yep. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct. You know who's there in our former conduct? We have a Haman everywhere. Everybody has a Haman. The Amalekite spirit, the flesh. Who's given on. And what does he do? See, I'll tell you something. Why does Haman go into a time of fasting and prayer? Why? Of course, prayer is not mentioned. By the way, two words are not mentioned in Esther. God, prayer. These two are not mentioned. Because in the world, we don't have two. What we don't have? God, and we don't have prayer. Okay, so that's essentially symbolically telling us, in this world, we don't want God, we don't want prayer. But you know what Haman is doing, on the other hand? He wants to kill the Jews, but before he's doing, you know what he's doing? Before he wants to kill the Jews, before he writes a decree, you know what he's doing? He's casting what? Lots. Why? He's getting symbols, he's getting all these directions from the demonic. That is the reason why it's called Purim. You know what Purim means? Casting lots. But incredible, no? You cast lots, but the disposition is from God. You think that you're casting lots to destroy God's people? The lot will fall against you. Remember, even in our own Mahabharata, we have Shakuni Mama. What is he doing? Lots. He's a Shakuni. Haman. So how do you fight this Shakuni Mama? In prayer. You cannot fight the demonic with reference letters. No way. With recommendations. You cannot. So what does he tell Esther? You have to fast. Pray, seek the face of God. You have to risk your life. Because Haman's rising. But you have not learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. Let me tell you something. The old man is growing corrupt over and over, more and more. I mean, you should see the statistics that are coming on in the polls that you see. You know, if you see the Western Hemisphere and the people in the West, I think it was in the year 1990, the early 90s. Or the late 90s and early 2000s, there was a political assassination that took place. And this time, there was a Republican candidate who went and assassinated a couple who were for pro-abortion. They were for abortion. So this guy went and killed them. And they passed a resolution in Congress. You know, how condemning that act, political violence should not be accepted, no matter which part of the political spectrum that you belong to, this is not accepted. And unanimous decision. Everybody condemned except one or two. Now, they had the same resolution in Congress recently. Out of the 450 odd seats, 150 people said, it's okay to assassinate.
It's okay. I'll tell you something. It's growing corrupt. I mean, have you seen the violence in Telugu movies nowadays? It's unbelievable. And you should see how the people, public react. They ask women, are you okay to see so much blood and gore on screen? They say, no, it's okay. It's fantastic. It's beautiful. It's stylized. The action sequences are fantastic. I said, what has happened? We have been desensitized in this generation. We have seen so much of violence, so much of garbage on the internet, so that when something happens, we are not moved anymore. Think about it now. How many of you really wept when Charlie died? I mean, really wept? My God, I don't know about you, but my God, I just couldn't take it. It was incredible. This is a generation that we are living in. It's a violent generation. I mean, I think, what's the name? Shravan, he was doing a survey in his class. You know, there was recently some case where this girl was, you know, she was molested and something happened and the police did an encounter, right? So, Shravan was taking a survey in his class and he has asked any students, okay, how many of you think that there should be due process? How many of you think what this police did was right? You know what most of the students said? Anna, champelanna vanni. You should kill him. No due process, nothing. Finish him off. This is a survey. It's a violent generation. But what do you see in movies? Violence. And glorifying violence. There's an abomination that is going on in this world. And what do? We pay money for that abomination. One of the famous directors in Hollywood is Quentin Tarantino. You know what he did? He's the first guy who stylized violence. Kill Bill. 2 volumes. He did not have sufficient. That's full of violence. Blood all over. What is our generation being exposed to? Have you seen old movies? How they were? You see, even the violence in those movies, you don't see it. It was so subtle. But now it's blatant in your face. People have to be shown that. Otherwise, you will not get them to the theaters. Stylized. So, deceitful lusts. It's growing corrupt. More and more corrupt. And we never, those days we used to never think about, you know, corruption in the West. Corruption was always in India. Now you see everywhere, blatant corruption. And everybody's got his hands dirty. I mean, people just lie to your face right in front of your eyes. Right in front of your eyes, you've just been lied to. Justified. To kill. To murder. To silence voices. It's growing corrupt. Technology has not increased our morality one bit. One bit more. It has deteriorated us even more. Have you seen those old movies that you used to watch in Telugu also? Such fantastic stories. Fantastic stories. No violence, nothing. To enjoy it, but now we cannot watch anything other than violence. There has to be shedding of blood. That's how it is in this world. It's growing corrupt with deceitfulness. So what should we do? You be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. In other words,
If you want to preserve your identity, you have to put to death the old man and constantly be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Constantly. In other words, don't allow any garbage to enter in. It's not averaging now. You don't listen to the voices of faith and again suddenly you listen to the voices of unbelief. No. There'll be confusion. You want to guard your identity. This is something which you have to live out. You see, this is put off and put on. Who should do? Tell me. Tell me who should do. Who should do? I should put off. That's what Paul tells the Corinthian church. You should take out the old leaven. You know why? Because you're a new leaven. You're leavenless, actually. You don't have a leavenless. You're leavenless. You know, you don't have leaven. You're a new lump. But if you don't take out the old leaven, you will not inherit. You might have salvation, but no inheritance. The constant renewing of your mind. Because the battle is here in your mind. The struggle is here in your mind. Thoughts, inclinations, attitudes. The spirit of your mind is an attitude. That's an attitude. You carry an attitude. You know, when you see people, you'll see whether they're humble or not. Because they have an attitude. They have a mixed spirit. You'll see they don't have to act it out. They're just normal. Yeah. The last one. Esther chapter 8. By these letters, the king permitted the Jews who were in every city to gather together. What is that? Everybody say gather together. Gather together and protect their lives. Let me tell you something. If you want to preserve your identity, you can't scatter. You have to gather. You understand that? You want to preserve your identity, you can't scatter. Prepare people for battle. Gather all those who identify. You need to understand this. This is something which we have to do in these last days. There's no plan B. There's only one way. What is that? Hebrews chapter 10. Let us what? Hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who is promised is what? Faithful. So what should we do? And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. How? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, even so much the more as you see the day approach. So what does Mordecai say? He uses his authority. He sends all the letters. See, I cannot reverse this decision. But I can tell you one thing. Fight. You know what happens after that? When they start fighting, many people start getting converted and becoming Jews. Evangelism happens. Because one man was faithful with one soul. You will only have the promises that you fought for. Okay? You only will have the promises that you fought for. The entire promised land is before you. But unless and until you fight for every promise, you will not possess them. But God has given them into our hands. Praise God. By which we have been given, the Bible says, exceedingly great and precious promises. So that by escaping the corruption in this world, we may be made partakers of the what? Of the divine nature. This is an inevitable task. It is the mandate to every believer, no matter what, where you are. It is a mandate for every believer. Whether you are a child, a young man, or in the middle-aged man, or you are old. Everyone. Everyone. It's a mandate. That we fight for our identity. We don't give it up. Our promises, our future, our children will know God. And they will fulfill God's purpose in their generation. They have been given into our hands for a season. And we fight for them. We fight for them on their knees. We fight for them by exemplifying a life before them. We fight for them by putting our own priorities right. By putting God first. By putting church, a very integral part of our lives. You know, it's remarkable, no? Whenever you see so many people, they moved around church because they said, we belong here now. We want to be there. We belong here. We want to be faithful because this is not one man's job. You have to gather together. Because Jesus is the gatherer. But the devil is the one who scatters. You get scattered, you will be an open target for the enemy. You leave Jerusalem, you will fall among thieves. And you will die. There is no plan B for us. We have to fight. So this morning, the exhortation for all of us from Mordecai. A man who guarded his identity in the midst of a perverse generation. The Bible says he was the Jew. And he was faithful with one soul. And because he was faithful with one soul, God gave to him an entire kingdom. But I want to finish with one last exhortation. I did not put it in the slide. You know what he does ultimately? He writes it down. What does he do? He records it. Let me tell you something. How many of you are good at Telugu and English? Show me your hands. Show me your hands. You know, one of the things that you can do. You can start translating so much of work of the church from English to Telugu. If you know the slide that Pastor put some days back, one of the blessings, one of the uses of the hand for prayer, for etc. You know, the last thing that he used was recording. And I looked at that, I said, wow, recording. You know what one of the heart's desire is? To translate the entire Revelation series from English to Telugu. To translate the entire Ephesians series from English to Telugu. Because we will be able to reach a huge audience even in our own city. If you can translate, record. If God has given you that gift of two languages, you're a polyglot, you can do it. You can do it. You waste your time anyways in senseless things anyway. You can say, Lord, here I am. Okay. And if your Telugu is not good, you can give it to my dad, he will do nice proofreading, and give it to my mom, she'll do nice grammatic reading also. Both are Telugu pundits. Write it down and give it to them. I started parts of it, but you know, I have so many other things to do. I'm saying, Lord, I'm actually doing certain books by Derek Prince into Telugu because that touched my life. And another thing that I want to do the Revelation series in Telugu. I want to do Ephesians in Telugu. I want to do it. It's recording. But it's not one man's effort. It's a collective effort. You do it. You know what we'll do? You will be a part of God's kingdom. You will belong here. You will build in Jerusalem. And you will be keeping yourself pure and spotless in a crooked and a perverse generation. Keeping yourself blameless in the sight of God. Prepare for battle. Gather all those who identify. That's exactly what, you know, Joshua tells, Moses tells Joshua. Choose you men and go and fight Amalek. So if you have taken the exhortation, shall you all stand up? Mordecai the little. I love that. Small man, little man. If you are still little in the hands of God, you can do great exploits. Okay. Hallelujah. You want to see something? Oh my goodness. If we have time. Yeah, we'll sing. Jesus. Magnify the Lord with me. We have a sing. Can you just connect this, please? Can I have the worship team, please? You don't want to hear my voice after you heard Pranit's voice. It's not there? Oh, Pranit is not. Sought the Lord, and He answered me, delivered me from it. Those who look on Him are radiant. They'll never be ashamed. They will never be ashamed. This poor man cried. This poor man. And the Lord heard him, and He saved me from. I am the Son of God. Surrounds His pain. He'll deliver them. He'll deliver them. Magnify the Lord with me. Come exalt His name together. Glorify the Lord.
Exalt His name forever.
Jesus.
Jesus, 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 we come to you, Lord. We humble ourselves before thee, O Lord. God, we are nothing, O Lord Jesus. We all have Haman in us, O Lord. The man who exalts wants to exalt himself, Lord. We do not have the spirit of Mordecai in us, O Lord, who wants to stay little and be hidden in Christ. But I pray, Lord Jesus, Lord, you've given us a key to be people who can guard their identity, to stay little and to be hidden in Christ. Lord, this morning I pray, Father, through the life of Mordecai, you've given us the keys to fearlessness. It is to be hidden in you and to be at the king's gates, constantly judging our hearts and judging rebellion and self-righteousness. So can we be bold before the enemy, knowing that we've been clothed with the righteousness of Jesus and Jesus alone. Lord, we don't want the garments of Haman, Lord. We want to have the garments of the king. Only the garments of the king can be recognized by the enemy. For he knows, O Lord, authority when he sees. Oh, Jesus, enable us to stay little. Enable us to stay little, O Lord. And these hands that you've given to us, equip them for war. Prepare our hands for battle. Jesus, in whatever capacity that you called us in, O Lord, with whatever giftings that you have given to us, enable us to surrender. Commit your children into your hands, even as we go about the rest of the week. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let your presence go ahead of us. Straighten crooked paths for us, O Lord. Enable us to walk in authority and walk in victory. Being hidden in you, O Lord Jesus. Putting off the old man. And being renewed in the attitude of our mind. Staying humble and contrite before thee. So that we can become fearless before the enemy. Resist him. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. We give you glory. Commit all of us into your hands. Watch over us through this week in our goings out and our comings in. From this time forth and even forever. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of us. Amen, amen, amen. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus.
Those who look on him are radiant.